This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Hiplin. We're breaking away from here and now so that we can bring you Governor Asa Hutchinson's weekly press briefing on the COVID-19 pandemic. A couple of things are happening right now. The governor will be speaking, but also here in about 15 minutes, we expect President Biden to address the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. So we'll start with the governor, and then once the president comes on, we will transition over to live coverage from NPR News. And we're getting word it is possible the president's speech may be delayed. So again, we'll stick with the governor until that begins. The governor's weekly press briefing comes as the number of COVID-19 patients on ventilators yesterday reached a new high. The state's hospitalization rate remains relatively high, but is lower than the record it reached a couple of weeks ago. So we'll see what the governor had to say. Also, the number of patients in intensive care also very high at this point and causing a lot of stress for hospitals. And Governor Hutchinson now at the podium.
Thank you for joining me for today's weekly update. I appreciate being joined by, Dr. Jose Romero of the Department of Health. We have Secretary Johnny Key of the Department of Education. I have General Kevin Vines of our Department of Military that's here. We have Mark White that's here with DHS. And then we have Troy Wells, CEO of Baptist Health System, here. I've asked him to share a few words about our hospital capacity. But first, I wanted to take a moment to recognize Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover of the United States Marine Corps, who is one of the 13 service members killed by a suicide bomber last week in Afghanistan. He was the nephew of Jeremy and Heather Soto. Jeremy is the pastor of Victory Church in the Mid-South in Marion. And so Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover was born in Arkansas and lived in West Memphis for a period of time before moving most recently to Salt Lake City. But a large portion of his family continues to reside in Arkansas. He served in the Marines for 12 years, including three tours in Afghanistan. I wanted to express appreciation for the life of Staff Sergeant Hoover and the work that he did to save lives in Afghanistan. May his service and sacrifice to our nation never be forgotten. I also just wanted to confirm, of course it's out there, that over 500 National Guard men and women are headed toward Louisiana. They are currently deployed, moving in that direction. We've also had a request for state trooper assistance, and we're waiting federal approval in order to move 33 state troopers to Louisiana, in addition to the 40 civilians that are responding to the needs in Louisiana, as well as the line workers for the electric cooperatives and energy that are working so hard in that area to restore energy and electricity. Now let's go to the COVID case report, and this is going back a ways, and we usually lately have been using about one or two slides. I've got a number of slides today, so be patient, but I think it tells a story that's important for Arkansas. And this is the daily report. The last 24 hours, you see that we have 2,600 new cases. That's a little bit up from last week. In fact, a couple hundred up from last week. Our active cases are down a little bit. Regretfully, we have, it's always sad news to see 22 Arkansans that have passed away as a result of COVID-19. In terms of our hospitalizations, we're down in hospitalizations 45, but those that are moved onto the ventilator is 27, and this is a significant concern, and it reflects the seriousness of the Delta variant and the challenges that our hospital personnel face, 27 more on ventilators. In terms of our vaccinations, we had a good day for Monday. We had 13,642 doses that were given out in the last 24 hours. So we continue to make progress in that area. Our testing is back to a more normal level after the weekend, and you can see the case report there as well. If we go to the next slide, we'll see, of course, what we're monitoring very closely is the hospital space and capacity. And while we have significant hospital capacity in Arkansas, our ICU bed space is very, very tight. And this reflects what we've done in terms of spending our ARPA funds for additional staff beds. And so Baptist Health was allocated $37 million for 157 staff beds. Unity Health, you can see, 43. The hospital surge staffing, $129 million, was for retention and capacity of existing staff. And this is very, very important to retain the existing workforce so they don't leave the profession or they go to a out of state to a contract agency. The nursing homes, we've added staff retention assistance there. The VA has stepped up to the plate, giving us 10 additional staff beds. Jefferson Regional, we're asking them to produce 8 additional beds. St. Bernard's is participating, as well as St. Vincent. So you can see it's close to $300 million that's devoted to staffing issues as well as space capacity in our different hospitals. And then if you go to the next one, here again, the incentive to be vaccinated. Among the people who have been infected with COVID, the people who were unvaccinated are 3 times more likely to be admitted to the hospital, and that is 320% higher in terms of likely to die from COVID than those who were vaccinated. So vaccination is the right call. It is the healthy call. It is the one that minimizes your risk of hospitalizations and death because of COVID. And then if we go to the next one, this is important because it's a 7-day rolling average of cases per day among individuals 0 to 18. Now the blue line that you see is for last year. And so you can see at the peak of last year in December, we were at a fairly high level. Then it picked up in January, which is the red line. Red line is 2021. And then it peaked in January, and then we declined on our cases per day. And then you can see that we accelerated at a very, very rapid pace. And that is the almost vertical straight line of red. And this again is the 0 to 18 age group. And so this is something different than parents and schools and everybody has had to deal with in the past. In fact, 30% of our current active cases are in the age group of 0 to 18. And then if we go to the next slide, and this is those, the 0 to 18 age group that's been admitted to the hospital by month for COVID. And you can see once again that in July and August of this year, we have more in that age group that have had to be hospitalized. Now, these are relatively small numbers compared to the overall, but this is about 108, I believe it is, as to those that in that age group that's hospitalized in August. Next, this is the vaccination status, which to me is very encouraging in terms of vaccination status in our public schools. This is for our public K through 12 teachers and staff. Teachers and staff, and you can see when we started the vaccination program, it accelerated, and then through the summer it stabilized, but now that we're back to school, you can see the vaccination rate among our teachers and staff continuing to increase. I appreciate Secretary Key and his leadership along with all the schools for the clinics that are being held to increase that vaccination rate. And the dark blue line was one dose, I believe, and the dotted one is the completed the series. And then the next one, this is another point of hope, and that is the 7-day rolling average of confirmed and probable cases. And you can just simply see that it's flattened out. And that's over a multi-week period that our cases are flattening out, which is encouraging. And then the next one is the number of hospitalized. You can see also that we have not continued to increase, but we've declined from our peak. We'll see where it goes based upon how people conduct themselves. And this shows the same point in a different way, and this is week by week comparison. And once again, you can see in the last few weeks, we flattened or been a little bit lower. We're concerned about Labor Day coming up. We're concerned about continued activities with school that we're going to continue. We're going to have a good season in football and the sports. We're going to be doing our businesses. We don't have more restrictions, but we all want to take the right precautions of either wearing a mask, but most importantly, getting vaccinated. And then I think this is the positivity rate for both PCR and antigen tests. We haven't looked at that in a while. And as I've always pointed out, we'd like to get it below 10%. But back in January, we were approaching 20%, about 19%. We didn't reach that peak. It was about 16% most recently, and it's flattening a little bit on the decline. All of those gives us hope that we're moving in the right direction if Labor Day does not disrupt our progress. And then finally, I did want to mention the rent relief program, because there I have received a letter from Chairman James Clyburn of South Carolina asking about getting more of our money out. So Mark White's here. We reviewed this, but we've had since as of August 30th, 13,700 applications for rent relief. We've assisted almost 3,000, paid out $7.2 million, only 93 households denied, but we have in process 2,500 and awaiting information, and this is a challenge we want to look at more closely because we're requiring information, verification from the tenant as well as from the landlord. We're waiting information from one of those before approval of the application. And I've asked challenged DHS to see if we can't look at that more closely, if there's ways that we can be helpful to streamline that. If there's any delays that we can avoid, we want to be able to get that money out to those that are in great need of it. And so we are working hard on getting that rent relief out without compromising the integrity of the whole program. And with that, let me invite Troy Wells first to come because I set him up in terms of the hospitalizations. Give us an update from Baptist Health standpoint, if you would, please.
And Dr. Troy Wells is CEO and president of Baptist Health.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to be here to give you a quick update. I've been up here with you a few times over the past year and a half, and it seems like every time we're talking about hospital bed capacity, the scarce resources for ICU beds, and more importantly, the personnel that it requires to add critical care beds or ICU beds in Arkansas. And we continue with that challenge, although I think that hospitals around the state, as you heard earlier, along with our the governor's office, the Department of Health, and Department of Human Services have worked so closely together, along with the legislature, to take all the reasonable steps we know to take to continue to improve the situation. And I think you heard earlier that we're doing that. I did want to tell you that we have completed our first phase of expansion, this most recent phase that was a partnership with the state of Arkansas. We completed that expansion on August the 25th. That created 33 new ICU beds in Arkansas and 124 medical surgical beds. Those ICU beds filled up within 12 to 24 hours of being open. So that's how bad those beds were needed. We still, on a daily basis, have anywhere from 70 to 80 of those medical surgical grade beds that are staffed and ready for use here in the state. Additionally, I'm really happy. I got some great news before I came over here today that our Baptist Health Medical Center in North Little Rock was able to open 12 more COVID-capable ICU beds today. As of about an hour ago, 9 of those beds were still available for use. So again, the pressure on ICU continues to be really severe, and this will be very helpful. Additionally, we're actively working on 8 more ICU beds in the Fort Smith Hospital. We have plans for another 8 more ICU beds in our Conway facility. So we haven't stopped looking for real estate, if you will, for ICU beds. We continue to work hard on bringing in staffing from out of the state, from nurses coming off of other contracts that can come to Arkansas. Respiratory therapy and RNs primarily are the biggest resources that we need to make those ICU beds work. A couple of other notes I just share with you today. At Baptist Health, throughout our 11 hospitals in Arkansas, 87% of our hospitalized COVID patients are not vaccinated. And I can tell you that the patients are younger and the patients are much sicker. A year ago when I was with you, we had beds. Now we need more critical care beds, more ventilators than we ever needed a year ago. So please get your vaccine and help us bring these hospitalizations down for you and for your families. I'll mention one other thing that you may not think much about, but oftentimes there are other consequences for what's going on that we don't focus on. At Baptist Health, we found recently that our neonatal intensive care unit has been extremely busy and even out of beds and given on certain days. And I think that's been the case throughout the Central Arkansas community. The neonatal intensive care unit is where small preterm babies go before they're able to go home. And we've had many preterm babies delivered because of unvaccinated mothers deliver their baby early, and the baby now needs a neonatal intensive care bed where otherwise they would have gone full term. So, in addition to the adult ICU bed expansion that we're working on, we're also trying to expand our neonatal intensive care unit by another 8 beds due to the new demand as a result of COVID-19. So thank you, Governor, for the opportunity to give that quick update.
And I want to thank you and Baptist Health for being great partners and for diligently working to expand your bed capacity. And with that, Dr. Romero, followed by Secretary Keith.
State Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero. And again, we're standing by for remarks from President Biden regarding the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. This is KUAR.
Pediatric vaccinations. As you can see from the graph that was presented earlier today, the number of pediatric cases is increasing and increasing rapidly within the state. At this time, I want to give you the information regarding vaccination of individuals 12 to 18 years of age. And at today's numbers, we had 30% fully vaccinated with 44.7% receiving at least one dose. So we're making slow progress, but we need to do better than that. Remember that one way to avoid quarantine if exposed in school is to be vaccinated. The other way is the mask. The mask is still a very efficient way of impeding transmission and preventing your infection. And so use of mask in a school in an exposure situation will prevent the individual from going into quarantine and will allow them to continue in classes. This is particularly important for those individuals, those children under 12 years of age. We have no vaccine. We do not expect to see vaccines for that group until the later part of this year at the earliest. So we need to rely on physical mitigation measures in order to bring this under control. Hospitalizations have increased significantly. Last month, we now have 2 months, which far exceed our peak from last year. We expect the number of hospitalizations to go up further for this month as we backfill, and will continue to go up in the next month. 99.3% of all of the variants we are identifying in the state are now Delta. So essentially, almost every case in the state is due to Delta virus, and we seem to believe that this is a more aggressive virus. It's certainly more transmissible. So again, I want to reemphasize vaccination for children, masking for children, avoiding of those activities that are going to place them at risk. As the governor mentioned, we're going into a holiday weekend. Every holiday weekend we have seen since the beginning of the pandemic, we've seen a surge in the number of cases. So we are concerned. Thank you very much, Governor. Secretary Key.
And this is State Education Secretary Johnny Key. You're listening to KUAR.
Good afternoon. So a couple of things that I want to report on regarding our K-12 public schools. Over the next week or so after the Labor Day holiday, we'll be shipping out the next shipment and the next delivery of masks, of the high-efficiency filtration masks. These will include masks that are child-sized, to follow up on what Dr. Romero said about the importance of masking. We want to make sure that children have access to these in the schools. Friday night, we will continue, actually Thursday and Friday night, we'll continue our Stop the Hesitation, Get the Vaccination clinics at regional football games around the state. This week, those clinics will be held at Camden Fairview, here in Little Rock at the Southwest High School versus Parkview game. There'll be also an Osceola and Prescott, and just a few minutes ago, we confirmed that there'll be one at Wynn as well. The one thing that I do want to stress to our parents out there, we do hear reports from schools where students have not yet been on campus, and they are not showing up for, and they're not registered, they've not shown up for the school year. This is something that's very important. So parents, caregivers, family members out there, if you have not contacted your school district about coming to school this year, that is something that your schools are reaching out to you. Please respond to that. Please make arrangements. Please make contact with your school administration as soon as you possibly can. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. And with that, we'll turn it open to questions.
Governor, I know that right now the solution to our bed space and ICU capacity is just to create more beds. But at what point do we simply cannot create more beds, especially when it comes to staffing? And are you concerned that we could get to that point where it's just not feasible?
Well, we're doing everything we can to make sure that if someone is sick with COVID, they have a hospital bed. And if they need ICU, that there's an ICU bed available. That is the standard of care we want to make sure is available. Obviously, we want people to be vaccinated, and that is the best chance to start reducing the hospitalizations. But as you look to the future, we've got to try to stay ahead of the curve. And so we have, in September, 64 additional ICU beds that are planned to come online in September. And that will give us some cushion, hopefully. But as you can see, if we do have an increase, then that capacity could be filled up very soon. And then where do you go? And that's a fair question. We're trying to look ahead and stay ahead of the curve by having space, and we've been successful thus far. But we need everybody's help to get vaccinated. We're doing all we can in terms of having space available with the help of our hospitals.
On the issue of vaccine requirements, do you still support the law that prohibits state and local governments from requiring employees to get the vaccine?
Well, it is the law, first of all. And so that is the rule here in Arkansas, that state government and schools cannot have a vaccine requirement. At that time that law was passed, we did not have FDA approval. We do have at least on one vaccine. But no, I believe the law is still appropriate. It has exceptions. One of the areas that I'm particularly concerned with is Department of Corrections, and they are accepted out of it. There is a case that some other exception should have been made, but it is the law, and we'll continue to follow that law.
Governor, you said 30% of the active cases are 0 to 18. Is that alarming with schools starting back?
Well, it is a great concern, and it reflects not a lack of care by the schools or lack of diligence on even parents' parts. It simply reflects the seriousness of the Delta variant and how it is impacting a larger percent of the younger age. So we put that out there because people need to be mindful of that, to take the proper precautions, and not to say, well, it's not going to have an impact on our young people like last year with the original Delta, with the original COVID variant. But today it's a different world with the Delta. Dr. Romero, of course, is a pediatrician. Did you want to add to that?
I think it's important to know that that number is increasing over time and has increased quickly over the last 2 weeks. When we have more cases, we're going to have individuals, unfortunately, that are going to develop more severe disease. And those are the ones that are going to be taxing our critical care structure for children. As you know, we have a single children's hospital in this state. It's one of the best children's hospitals in the region. And if we exhaust the critical care beds in that group, we will be in serious situations. So we need to protect those children. We need to give them the vaccine for those individuals that can receive it. And we need to encourage masking at all times.
Let's go remotely. Are there any questions?
Hey, Governor Andrew Epperson. Andrew Epperson here from KNWA News. I know that there's a lot of excitement with the Razorbacks playing on Saturday, but with COVID numbers being the way they are, do you have any concerns that that could be a super spreader event?
It's an outdoor venue, and I think the university has taken appropriate precautions in that. And as long as they follow those and the public cooperates in it, then I hope that there will be a very safe time. But we all look forward to the football season, and we just want to make sure that we take the right precautions as we enter the stadium and as we move about. The players have done their job, a high percent of vaccination. Let's hope that those in the stands will reach the same high level of vaccination as they go to watch them perform on the athletic field. Next question.
Governor Green with Channel 7, I have a two-part question. The first part, during a media briefing yesterday, Congressman Clyburn, going back to the rent relief, Congressman Clyburn mentioned where if there's a will, there's a way, and he's saying that in the five states he wrote letters to, including Arkansas, that just doesn't appear to be a will to get this relief out. So first question is comments on that. And the second question, the president of the National Low Income Housing Coalition had mentioned that through guidance through the White House, states could choose to directly just send checks to tenants when landlords are refusing to participate. I've personally spoken with landlords who mentioned that they have no interest in applying or doing anything with this. So why are we not just kind of skipping the landlord process for certain folks who cannot get aid?
What is ignored by Representative Clyburn's letter is the fact that Arkansas did not shut down our economy. We did not reach the same unemployment rate as the rest of the nation. Some states did shut down their economy, sheltered in place, more people lost jobs. And so I think his letter ignores the fact that Arkansas's economy did keep moving during this time. But there are certainly those tenants that did lose jobs, that have had hardships, and they need this relief. I disagree completely that Arkansas and our Department of Human Services is not working diligently to get that money out. Obviously, we don't want fraudulent applications, and there's protections that are in there that are required by federal law that we're following. We're doing a lot to get it out there. In terms of the last part of your question on the joint obligation of a tenant to apply, as well as it being affirmed by the landlord, that's resulted in over 8,000 that are pending, waiting for more information. And I've asked DHS to review that policy to see whether that needs to be adjusted and whether that's a hurdle that we should eliminate, or whether that's an appropriate protection against fraud.
Governor Hutchinson, this is Alexis Wainwright with KRK and Fox 60. Not sure if you're aware, but several families have evacuated Louisiana and headed here to Arkansas. We've talked with several of them saying that they need help, they need assistance. One family even told us they were turned away from Red Cross in Little Rock. What is your response to that? And do you know if the state is doing anything to help some of these families that are in need?
Well, first of all, we're helping a great deal with Louisiana. They're our neighbor, and so we've sent significant resources there. in terms of evacuees, you know, the Red Cross has always been a very willing partner to receive those. If we need to step up more, we will, but we have not been alerted to the challenge that we need to be ready for. Does DHS have any more information on that?
I'll say exactly what you said.
Okay. But we will look at that and see if we need to do more. Obviously, the Red Cross is there. They've always been a great partner in any disaster, anywhere. I know that they will continue to do that. If the state needs to set up any additional evacuation centers or our church groups that have been so instrumental in previous incidences of hurricane and flooding, I know that they will be there as well.
At 2 o'clock, this is 89.1 KUAR, Little Rock. We're listening live as Governor Asa Hutchinson is giving his weekly COVID-19 press briefing. We're also standing by for live remarks from President Biden, and we will have that as soon as he comes out.
Every time they open up a ICU bed that requires additional staff, those are being recruited from out of state to come in here. And so, because we did not want to be taking healthcare nurses away from other hospitals in Arkansas, so it was an important priority to make sure we're bringing in staffing assistance from out of state. Troy, did you want to respond on that more?
And again, Baptist Health CEO, Dr. Troy Wells.
We have brought in hundreds of out-of-state healthcare workers within the past month, in addition to several hundred that were here before. And I think that the strategy that all the hospitals are using that are trying to expand ICU beds is to be very diligent in working with staffing agencies, these contract firms that we use, to make sure that the personnel coming to us are, you know, aren't our neighbor living down the street. We want to supplement our neighbor, not move our neighbors around. And so that's the goal of all the hospitals. And I know there's probably going to be, you know, an incident here or there where that isn't possible. But by and large, our agreement specifically stated that we want out-of-state addresses for the professionals that we brought in.
And then I heard a question remotely.
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew AP. Wanted to ask you and Dr. Romero about the situation at Washington County Jail, where inmates had been prescribed ivermectin for COVID. Wanted to see if, do you think that's appropriate for them to be prescribed that, given the warnings that health officials have issued about the drug? And do you think they should stop that practice?
I'm gonna ask Dr. Romero to comment.
So, as the FDA has stated, ivermectin is not licensed or approved for the use of treatment of COVID. Drugs can be used off-label for other indications, provided that there is an agreement or coincidence in the opinions of the physician and the patient. So for me to comment on the situation in that center, I can't do that because I don't know what agreement has been made. We do not endorse the use of COVID. We follow the FDA guidelines, and that is, it's not an indicated therapy. I'll take this moment to state what is an approved therapy, and that is monoclonal antibodies. We need to be promoting the use of monoclonal antibodies in all individuals at high risk for treatment. It has come to my attention that physicians are prescribing other drugs rather than going straight to monoclonal antibodies in individuals that are at high risk. I urge the public to ask for monoclonal antibodies if they are at high risk from their physicians. Thank you.
Any other questions? I think we're good for today then. Thank you for your attention to this. A lot of important information. I want to thank everybody who took time out of the day to participate from your busy jobs as well. Thank you.
This is 89.1 KUAR. We've been listening live to Governor Asa Hutchinson giving his weekly update on COVID-19. 22 deaths reported today, along with about 2,600 new cases of people testing positive for the virus. hospitalizations down by 45, but ventilators have reached another record high. 27 more people needing to be on mechanical ventilation has brought that total number to 388. Another concern raised, 30% of all active cases right now of COVID-19 involve people between the ages of 0 to 18. So infants to 18-year-olds, 87% of COVID-19 patients currently hospitalized are people who have not gotten the vaccination. So again, we heard, officials urging people to get vaccinated and take basic precautions, wearing a mask and whatnot. The governor also said he's concerned about Labor Day activities as well as other events, and is encouraging people to take basic precautions. With that, we'll go back to NPR as we await live remarks from President Joe Biden. This is KUAR 89.1.